concubine and there is a wife. Concubine. Oh. Praise the Lord. The mystery is very deep. Why will God go and warn one sister, stop dressing like this, and we leave another one, we not warn you, dressing like that, and say, my daughter, you know, I love you. What do you say is your problem? I will not rebuke that one, but rebuke another one. The answer is in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So please, I hope somebody here will know you are in the wrong address. Yes. If you are wearing trousers, you know, you come to church, you remove it. When you are coming here, when you live here, you go and wear it. And you then come here, you then pray one day. Then you come see me for your dream. Come they bless you. Come they deliver you. Wallahi, I am not the one you see. Na devil. The devil, they use my face, come. If you see me, not to cane you. See me, sleep with your boyfriend for room. Then you two of you pray. After prayer, you come sleep. Then suddenly, in your dream, you see me. Then I'm blessing you. Beside you, your boyfriend is sleeping there. Then I'm blessing you here. Wallahi, I am not the one. Samson, I am not the one. Look very well. I am not the one. Because a true angel will warn you, what are you doing here? Start to cane you. You will wake up, run, and stay outside. You will never come back to that boy's house again. If it's a true angel from Bride Assembly. Praise the Lord. But if your pastor himself is a fornicator, then he can come to you. Yes, now. Bless you. After all, now the thing when they do, you they do. All of them now the same place where they go. Who wants to ask me a question? I will not take too many questions. We'll pray today. Somebody was putting up your hand there. Come. Give somebody a microphone. Let me hear them.
Praise the Lord, church. Pastor, thank you for the privilege. My question is from the book of John 11:35, where he said, Jesus wept. So Jesus knows that he is God. He is capable of raising Lazarus. Why did he weep?
Praise the Lord. You people can ask very interesting questions sometimes. There are two things we learn from there. The first is when we want to talk about the deity and the humanity of Christ. It's one of the scriptures we use to show that Jesus was also human. That somebody he loves died. And naturally, you will cry as a human being. But that scripture is deeper than that. Because the truth is, the time you hear the news of the death of a loved one, that is the time you cry. It's not, you don't wait until you get to the graveside. Am I correct? He was told that his friend is dead. What did he say? He said he's not dead. He's sleeping. So why will he again come and cry? So that's why I say it is deeper than that. Look at the discussion that went on before he got to the graveside. These are people that have walked with him. They have known who he is. He has raised the dead before. He's been doing miracles, signs and wonders. He told that woman, I am the resurrection and the life. Let's read it. John chapter 11. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 11. Verse 11. This thing said he, and after that, he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciple, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. If he's sleeping, then no problem now. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but he thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Because he's glad that he was not there. Because if he was there, he's not saying, no, go let that happen. Now, opportunity has come to show them something. That's what he's saying. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave. How many days already? 4 days. So almost corruption was almost setting in. And many of the Jews came to, verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Can you see? From that discussion, you can see how that somebody who has been so close to Jesus was not understanding. You are making one statement here, you are making another one again to contradict it. You have already said you know that if you ask the Father anything, he will do it. So you know that if you come here now, if you ask him to come back to life, he will come back to life. And then again, Jesus said, don't worry. Hallelujah. Your brother will live. And then you are now saying, hey, we know that we believe in resurrection now. In the resurrection, he will live. So, it's a bunch of confusion. Verse 25. Jesus said unto her, see, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then, when Martha was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. So the same thing Martha said, it's the same thing Mary is saying here. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, when he saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, what happened? He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now here, was it because the friend was dead? No. And this is what he said. Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. That is what you are saying. Jesus wept. Praise the Lord. Verse 39. It's now by the graveside. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Total unbelief. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wilt believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Now, from all these statements, you can know why Jesus wept. From this statement, you can see, he was crying because of their unbelief. In another scripture, he said, when the Son of Man shall come, will he still find faith on earth? He was crying because the people that should believe him, they can't even believe him. He was crying for their faithlessness. He was crying for their unbelief, despite all that was demonstrated of who he is right before them. And even now, Jesus is still crying for some people. It's true. Because of little thing, what we have, I mean, our reactions makes it look as if you have no God behind you. Oh, that God has done so many wonderful things before in your life. Suddenly, it looks as if, you know, it's no more there by the actions you take. Faithlessness. That is why Jesus wept.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you.
My second question is, you said eating in the dream, not all eating in the dream are bad. Yes. So I want you to throw more light on the good ones and the bad ones.
I have already told you, not only eating in the dream. When you have a particular pattern of dream, the only reason why you should get worried about it is after that dream, if there is a particular trend you have. Anytime I have this type of dream, this one, something like this will happen. Eh? See, you are making somebody suffer with neck there. You cover her face. She won't see who they talk. You can't cover her face. So things, you do like this. You do like this. See, the problem with you is, you know, don't let anything close. Look, anybody that tried to block your blessing this year, use your mouth, cast him out. You see, that year they suffer. Eh? God told Moses, why cry? Speak. The guy cover you. You do like this. You know, me tell and say, brother, get out from my face. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't be a gentleman this year when it comes to possessing your possession. Amen. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God does what? And the violent do what? By force. If you speak by mouth, he don't hear you. Stand up. Tap him. If you don't agree, lift him up. So you watch your dreams, the pattern. Anytime you have a dream and you wake up and you notice a particular problem, you know, take note of it. You have this, like those who look fruit of the womb, they say, when I have a particular dream, when I'm pregnant, few days after, I will have miscarriage. When I have it in a dream, when I wake up, I will feel pains all over my body. When I sleep with any woman, and I'm expecting a blessing, and I sleep with that woman in the dream, or I sleep with that man, when I wake up, this thing will happen. Then you begin to take such dreams seriously and go for deliverance. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, sister. This is the way it's a big fire question. Yes.
My own question is, can there be true gates of God with the world, but not of God, as in terms of impersonating?
Can there be what?
Can there be true gift? Can there be true gift of God with the word of God, but is not of God, as in to impersonate?
A gift with the word of God.
With the word, but is not of God. Maybe to impersonate the real one.
Impersonation.
Yes, I'm online.
Huh? Impersonator is impersonator.
Okay,
there's somebody on the line.
My name is Kingsley Wanchuku. I'm calling from Norway.
Kingsley Wanchuku from Norway. God bless you, we're hearing you.
Yeah. Shalom, church. And happy new year to all. My question is this, Pastor. I happened to come across a Muslim. We studied together here in Norway.
Go on, we're hearing you, Brother Kingsley. It's like we have lost that call. Okay, you can.
So many things, like, he was proving. Hello, I'm still on.
Okay, go ahead, we're hearing you.
So. Who is Jesus Christ? One. That was his first question. And he asked me, how many gods do we have as Christians? When I tried, because he asked me, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? I was trying to tell him it's just one God, and that Jesus Christ too is God. So, sir, I want you to, like, draw more light for me about God the Father, God the Son, and the God the Holy Spirit, and if Jesus Christ too is God, and I want some quotations to back it up.
Brother Kingsley from Norway.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Brother Kingsley from Norway, because of time and your question being a very serious topical issue, and is also so much of a controversy in Christianity. And that is, your question is also the foundation of our faith. Upon this rock, the rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I preached a message that I titled, Who is Jesus? Please, go to our YouTube, our archive, or go to our address in the YouTube. It will be screened in a moment. Go there and get that message. There are about 3-part series. Who is Jesus? If possible, get it and then give a copy of it to the Muslim friend of yours and let him listen to it. If there are still questions, then you can always call us again. God bless you. Hallelujah. Yes, and whoever you are watching us, that is the address on the screen, www.youtube.com/thelightpassion. That is our address on the YouTube platform. And the archive of our messages are there. We have more than 400 messages in there. telling the world about the end time message. Search for who is Jesus. If you are hearing me, search for who is Jesus. Another message we preach titled The Appearing of God. It also explains the Godhead. And another message that we preach also, we look at the man Jesus and the name Jesus. Another one that tells us about the Godhead is titled, Who is Melchizedek? It explains the Godhead. But let Kingsley know that the doctrine of three persons in one God is unscriptural. There's nothing like that in the Bible that supports it. And no Jew whose God we are following, because he came to his own, and his own are the Jews, and they never had a triune God. God, who was one before the Jews, did not become three when he came to the Gentiles. Remember, he came to the Gentiles and they had more than three gods before. They had God for everything. And carnal people have tried to understand the Godhead and came about that. And the Church of Jesus Christ did not start with that doctrine. Now, that doctrine came into the Christian church in that mighty meeting of AD 325 at Nicene, there in Rome. That was the historic event that brought Christianity and idolatry in marriage. And that church that came into that marriage became a fornicator, a harlot, referred to in Revelation chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Christianity and idolatry married. And they began to substitute some of their pagan worship for Christian names, including the worship of that woman Semiramis that appropriately fitted a new name, Mary. And Nimrod, the worship of that son of that woman that appropriately fit Jesus, the Son of God. And all the other things that were going on in the Gentile world under the Roman Empire that corrupted Christianity, and churches, the Protestant churches that broke out of Roman Catholicism, also went with some of those doctrines. And that is why we have Trinity doctrine. It is on scripture. There is nothing like three persons in one God. But search the scripture, you will see one God appearing in three offices for the purpose of our redemption. Not three persons, but three offices. God bless you. You will never see any scripture anywhere referring to Jesus as God the Son. There's nothing like that. But you see the Son of God, not God the Son. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
My question is it possible that someone is operating one of the spiritual gifts with the word of God, but such gift is not of God?
Praise the Lord. The gift, you can operate a genuine gift, but not with the truth of God's word backing it up.
I mean with the truth of God's word.
Ask your question again.
I said, is it possible that someone is operating a genuine gift? Or let me not say a genuine, just a gift among those gifts in the Bible with the word of God, but is not of God.
The person is not of God.
Both the person and the gift itself.
But you say genuine gift. That's why I'm confused. You say genuine gift, but the person...
One of the gifts in the Bible,
If it is a gift in the Bible, then it's a genuine gift now.
Yes.
What you want to say is whether the person can be false.
Yes.
No. Let me understand your question.
Does if someone is operating one of the gifts in the Bible.
Give an example.
Maybe prophecy. Prophecy.
Yeah, prophecy, huh?
And then backing it up with the word of God.
Uh-huh.
But the person is not of God.
That's it now. That is, the person is false, but the gift is genuine. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, now we have taught that here several times because God can use any borrowed vessel. Okay?
I was trying to understand what the statement you made some minutes ago.
That
somebody can operate a gift, but without the word. Something
without
like
the
that.
Word.
Something like that.
Of course now, praise the Lord. When we say the word, that remember that every gift we have is to cause an attraction for you to deliver the word of God. And we have Moses, for example. He was told to go. I think we preached a message. We also titled it, The Voice of the Sign. The voice of the sign. Every sign has a voice following it. Moses was given sign. Praise the Lord. Moses was given a sign. He was, first and foremost, he was given a message. Eh? Sorry, I have some customers here. This man will just break his neck for nothing. See, there's one spirit of sleep here. See, all of them here are sleeping. See that one there. Yeah. Good evening, sir. Good evening, sir. Praise the Lord. The sisters are not sleeping. Clap for yourself. Clap for yourself. The brothers that are sleeping. Praise the Lord. Where you come out now? Where did they come from? I'm coming from VG. I decided I will not sleep this night. I must go and pray. That make me go bright. What you run away from your house, caught you here on your seat. You are defeated. Somebody warn your neighbor, don't be defeated. Don't be defeated. Somebody tell yourself, I am an overcomer. Say it very loud to yourself. Say it very loud. You when they sleep, say it very loud. If you were sleeping, since you came, you have been battling with sleep, jump up and shout, I am an overcomer. They don't stand up. If you have been battling from sleep since we started here, as we sat down, the battle with sleep, jump up and shout, I am an overcomer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, sister. As I was saying, yes. Moses was given the message. What was the ministry of Moses? He was given a message. Why are you a prophet? A prophet is the one. When I say prophet, you understand what I mean. I don't mean the fivefold prophet. I'm talking about the dispensational prophets. The fivefold prophet is for the edification of the body. So their messages are to encourage the believers. Amen. To come and tell you why your condition will not change. You're already a believer. But I'm talking about dispensational prophet. Prophet to the nation. Prophet to the people. The word of God always comes to the prophet. Go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh. That is his ministry. That is his ministry. But he asked, I know these people, even these Jews and this Pharaoh. If I go and say, God send me, and he asked me, what is the evidence? What is the proof that God has sent me? What will I show as evidence? That was when he gave him those two signs. Church, I have preached it. I have emphasized it here. And if you still allow any of these people to bewitch you, then you are ordained perpetually to be deceived. The essence of these messages is for you to have a strong standing in your Christian faith. So that you don't judge people by the anointing. He said, amen. He gave him two signs. And true to it, when he got to Pharaoh's palace, the first thing Pharaoh asked him was what he expected. What is the evidence? And what happened? He threw the stick that God had given him. Told him he would use. He did it as God showed him. Threw it on the ground. And this. Amen. But before then, let's go back to his discussion with God. When God said, put your hand in the bosom, he put it there. He brought it out. What happened? He became leprous. He said, put it back again. He put it. He brought it out. What happened? Cleansed. Is that a miracle? Is that a miracle? Do you know that if Moses from that day goes anywhere and you want to challenge his ministry, he will tell you, I want you people to know that God is here. Everybody put your hand in your bosom. Bring it out. Do you know every hand will become leprous? And he will not. He can tell you now. Before I will return that your hand, everybody make vow. Is that not what they are doing with anointing now? Praise the Lord. Then he said, "What do you hold in your hand?" He said, "It's a stick because he was a shepherd in the field. They are taking care of his in-laws' sheep." He threw it to the ground. It was snake. Don't fear. Pick it again. He picked it. Became stick. Do you know you could have also been gathering people? Any of you that speak evil against Pastor Moses, I will send snake after all of you. Do you doubt it? Terror. Before your eyes. You will see snake. In fact, you think only my stick? Oh, yeah, bring sticks, all of you. All of you are living here today with snakes. It will happen. When he took it and it became a stick again, listen to what God told him. If they will not believe the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the second sign. That is why I picked that title, the voice of the sign. It means, if I tell you, God sent me to you, Pharaoh, let my people go. And you ask me, what is the sign? I will do the first sign. And tell you, thus said the Lord. If you don't believe the voice following that sign, the second sign, he said they will believe it. Now, what is the emphasis? Is it to turn sticks to snakes in Egypt? Was that the ministry? Was that what God sent him to Egypt to do? The sign, the gift, the anointing is to cause you to believe that what I am telling you is from God. So if I gather a crusade and I begin to give prophecies give this, give that, give this. And at the end, collect offering and tell the people we come back again tomorrow. What is the message that is following that your gift? That is how we know you are of God or not. Because at the palace there, Jannes and Jambres, Apostle Paul gave us their names. The two magicians that were there, the anointing that Moses had, they also had it. Do you understand? The anointing that he threw his stick, he turned to snake. The magicians laughed. Now the one where you want to use with that, they threw their own too. It became snake. But the difference is the message that follows their own snake. Which one is from God? One was to keep the people in bondage. The other one was to set the people of God free. God bless you.
My second question. Those women that lives abroad, that they live a holy life, but maybe they used to put on trousers, maybe due to their weather condition, are they exempted from the warnings that women should not put?
You mean in Europe?
Yes.
But in that same Europe, there are other sisters that are in the same cold. They don't wear trousers. So God will use those ones to judge them.
Then the last question is, according to one of your preachings, salvation is not for all. What is the purpose of God's creation?
Purpose.
Saying salvation is not for all.
Purpose of creating who and who?
Of God's creation.
Which creation? He created animals.
Creating human beings.
Eh?
Creating us, human beings.
Praise the Lord. What is his purpose of creating human beings?
Saying salvation is not for all.
Is it all that are of his?
No.
Eh?
No.
So if you believe that it's not every human being that is of God, then you can also know why he cannot save everybody. Am I correct?
But he's the one that created everybody.
Yes, but he created animals too. Are animals going to heaven?
Sir, I was thinking that since he salvation is not for at least he would have created those that will make heaven. And
yes, now he created me to go to heaven. That's why I'm on my way to glory land. Thank you. If not, I won't go to heaven if he didn't create me to go to heaven. He created animal. No matter how the animal look like human being, you're an animal. And there are some animals that look like human beings. The foundation of God standing sure, having this seed. The Lord knoweth them that are his, because some are not his. And he added, let them that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. They are the only ones I am preaching to, because an animal has no place for the gospel. So he cannot repent, because he has no hearing ear. Then Jesus will say, let him that has ear to hear. Because an animal can never hear a human being talking. No matter how you train and train and train and train and train. Amen. He's still an animal. God bless you. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Sir, my first question is this. Early this week, some men went to WAEC and returned their certificate that when they wrote that exam, they involved in malpractice.
Yes.
So my question is that part of the race? Can that certificate stand against them in Judgment Day?
You are asking for restitution.
Yes, sir.
Yes, now, when you give your life to Christ and there are things you've done bad that can be corrected, you should go and correct it immediately, but it must be something that you can truly correct. So they are correct. They stole certificates. So they are returning it. They are repenting. And remember, it is easy to return certificate because you can go and write another exam genuinely now and get it. So you should go and correct it. You're correct.
Despite the age of the person.
The age. And age there for education. There's no age in education. There's no age in education. I think last year, one 80-year-old man, is he 80 years? He graduated from either law school or something like that. So we don't have age limit when it comes to education. Let nobody sitting down here say you have passed a school age. No. Till you die, you can acquire knowledge. As long as your brain can still read and understand, continue reading. I mean by reason of age. If you are not yet old and you cannot read and understand, you need deliverance. Go for deliverance for your brain to be loose. So they are correct.
Okay, sir. Number two, concerning Bible school. And Daniel said he understood by books. And I believe he didn't read only the Bible. There are some other inspired books that motivated and encouraged his spiritual life. Now, there are some books that if somebody is not guided, you will not understand the intention of the writer. So don't you think that somebody needs to go to that school and get the knowledge?
Let me correct this impression. I didn't say that you cannot go to Bible school. Every school you can go, please go. Including cooking school. You understand now? I expect every woman to go to cooking school. Eh? Whatever school, anything, school is school. What is education? Education is the acquisition of knowledge. What is literacy? Literacy is the study of letters. That's all. To be able to write. So nothing wrong about you going to Bible school. What I say is that it should not be a prerequisite for the ministry. Don't say you cannot go and pastor a church or go into pastoral ministry, evangelical ministry, whatever ministry, prophetic ministry, until you have gone to a school of theology and write an exam and pass after some years or so. Until you can have certificate, diploma, degree, master's, and then PhD, and maybe professor. I said, after all, in the university there is a department of or faculty of religious studies. There's nothing wrong about that. I say it has nothing to do with ministry. And there is no such pattern in the Bible. And here am I here. I did not go to any school of theology, but I am teaching theologians. Godhead. I'm teaching the water baptism. Praise the Lord. And you don't have to go to a formal school before you begin to study. I study a lot. I read a lot. I have books that I read. I'm still reading. For me to stand before the whole world and say, ask me a question. You don't say, I study. Praise God. But there's nothing like before you go into the ministry. When God calls you, He will anoint you for the purpose for which He has called you into the ministry. The certificate is the anointing. The gift that He has given you. Every call goes with a gift. And God does not look at your level of education before giving you any gift. Amen. He has a reason. If not, Boboye will never be a minister in Brother Assembly. Because he cannot write a complete sentence correctly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not yapping you. I'm saying it to the glory of God. Eh? Because the truth is that I can read and write better than you. But God chose you instead of me to make you a prophet. So that means he has seen that you'll be a better person in that ministry than me. Although you don't go to school. Uh-huh. That's the truth. And it will be wrong for me to say, Boboye, yes, in the same vision, but before you operate, go to Bible school. No. It is wrong. And look at the Bible. All those people that God used, all those apostles, fishermen, tax collectors, and all those ones, which school did they go? God bypassed all the educated people that passed through Gamaliel. Only Apostle Paul he used. And even Apostle Paul said all those things that he acquired was nonsense. He packed that knowledge, threw them away, and descended to the level of those illiterates. Praise the Lord. And when God called Apostle Paul, he did not go to meet any of those who were apostles before him to learn from them. He himself, God trained him in his own way. He said he went to the Arabia, the desert there, hid himself and began to study. When he came out, he said none of those apostles added anything to him in the knowledge of God. Everything they knew, he knew it. Even he was not there during the Last Supper, but he saw the vision. And God told him, this is how it is done. And he gave us the order for communion when he was not with Christ. Peter didn't give us the order. Praise the Lord. And the Holy Ghost is the teacher. He's the teacher. And he's still teaching. He's still teaching. According to the gift he has given you. Praise the Lord. Okay. I think that answers it. Yes, sister.
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
Sir, please, I and my neighbors and one other man, we engage in argument that God's love for every mankind is not equal. Sir, please, is it true?
Yeah, it is true and it is not true. Praise the Lord. Can I make it clearer with this example? The call is coming in. Hello? Betty, Sister Betty from Germany, yes?
Hello, shalom, sir.
Shalom.
Yes, there was one Friday night, and Sister Malachi was giving a prophecy. There's a brother that came to the church that day, and he was to go to robbery the previous night.
Can you talk? We are hearing you. Go on,
and,
talk.
After the prophecy, Pastor Thomas now said that it is because of the guy being the seed of God. That's why God is seeking him out. It was a warning to the brother. And he said that he was not saying that if the guy is not repenting, that God can call him home. So please, I want him to explain that the meaning of calling him home. Is God calling him home to rest, or is God calling him home for damnation?
God bless you, Sister Betty from Germany. Thank you very much. God, there was a prophecy warning somebody, if he didn't repent, God will call him home. Now, if the Bible says God will call him home, it means that person must be his child. Only his child he will call home. Praise God. Praise the Lord. When we have scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's open it. Uh, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the man was found in fornication. And a very abominable one for that matter. And this is the way. Amen. This is the way Apostle Paul gave his judgment from verse 5. That we should deliver such a one unto Satan. To deliver such a one, that fornicator. Deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. If you excrete that statement very well, you will see that, yes, he was caught in fornication. But there is still a hope for him to be saved. The flesh will be destroyed here, but the spirit will be saved. Why? Because the destruction of the flesh is his judgment as a seed of God. Now go to chapter 3 again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. From verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now he's talking about works. The way you live your life on earth here. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now just use this to explain. What Pastor Thomas was trying to say that day is only emphasizing the fact of eternal security. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. But you can be a good child and enjoy all the benefits and blessings of your father. And you can also be a bad son of God. And also, you know, be in trouble with him until he can call you home. That is, cut short your life on earth here, and you will not have you disgrace him. But when we come to receiving reward, you will have nothing for reward. Yet your soul is saved. That is why he made that statement. Thank you very much. Yes. Ask your question.
Hello, sir. Sir, I said we engaged in an argument. We said, well, the other woman was saying that God's love for every man.
Can you hear me?
Sorry. Yes, let's hear you again. A call is coming again. Yes? A call is coming in. Okay? We lose that. Yes?
God's love for every mankind is proportional. And I was saying that God's love for mankind is not equal.
Yes. I say I agree with you, because the love that you as a mother, not be you, never marry. Amen. When do you want to marry, sir? You get picky. You don't marry. You don't marry. You get picky. You have neighbors around you. Give a microphone so that they can hear you. Eh? You have your own child.
Yes, yes, I have my own child.
Then you have your neighbor's children.
Yes, yes.
The love you have for your own children, is it the same love you have for the children of your neighbor?
No.
But you love the children of your neighbor.
I love them. But
the type of love you have for your child is different from the type of love you have for another person's child.
Yes, yes.
That is how God's love is also. Thank you. Okay. Yes, brother.
Praise the Lord. Many gifted brothers have left this church. They are gifted.
But after they are leaving the church, I've not been hearing about the message. So I was thinking that while these brothers were in the church, had they not been studying the message or the Bible? That one leads to my question that even the prophets here, are they not supposed to be preaching? I'm not saying teaching. As an Galatians, I mean, 4:11, Galatians 4:11. Now, they are now here, they are prophesying, but I believe, or I ask the question, are they being taught the Bible that when they preach the message, after the message of the Bible, then they will use their gift of prophecy that will add value to that gifted, I mean, message they want to give? Because I've seen so many churches that even one in Ikotun, the disciple, when they healed, I saw some of them preaching. I said, well, these people are grounded. They are taught the way to preach. So I was wondering, how many disciples are following you? So that after you, because I believe you are my teacher, I enjoy your message, even Dr. Lukoya. But I said, how many people that after you, will your life be long, that will continue in the message, apart from Pastor Thomas? That is my question.
Praise the Lord. Listen very well. Listen very well, sir. I think you are missing it somewhere. I think you are missing it somewhere. Please try to understand. First and foremost, to the glory of God, this ministry is not a local ministry. This ministry is an international ministry. Praise the Lord. Through this ministry, churches are springing up all over the world. Some of them have never stepped here. They listen and they leave their churches and they are gathering everywhere. I say it all over the world. And we have just started. Praise the Lord. Now, in the fivefold ministry, listen very well, sir. In the fivefold ministry, I had calls to counsel some people where I told them that we stand in the end time message and we condemn women pastors. Why? Because they are out of God's perfect will. But I also say that when a prophet leaves his prophetic ministry and goes into a teaching ministry, he is as guilty as a woman preacher. Listen, sir. He's as guilty as the woman preacher. Now, a church, a local church, listen very well, though. A local church cannot have more than one pastor. If you are in a church and you have a pastoral calling, that is the evidence that is not your church. You will only stay for some time, learn, and the appropriate time, you will leave and go for your pastoral ministry. But for administrative purpose, and convenience, thank you. Yes, the pastor of the church here, of any local church, must have people that when he's not around, they watch over the church in his absence. And every pastor too should have succession plan. That if for any reason he is no more there by way of death or anything, of any disabilities, there should be somebody that has understood him long enough to continue with the ministry. Okay? There must be. And let me quickly tell you, is that, and if it is a true ministry of God, it's God that set up that ministry, listen, he will bring set up the church and he will place that succession there. And it will not be me appointing Pastor Thomas. The reason is, tomorrow, God can tell Pastor Thomas to go somewhere else. Because the truth is, he cannot remain assistant forever. Unless God has determined to take me away, then he will not put him. Remember that I did not appoint him as assistant pastor under thus said the Lord. For convenience. Among those who were available at that time, he was more suitable to me as a human being. I say this because when Judas died, they wanted to replace. The 11 others, they came together and they casted lot. Whosoever will pick, Lord, let him be the one. Then they picked Matthias. But while they were doing that, God had his replacement. The replacement for Judas was Apostle Paul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But why they remained 12 of them with Matthias appointed? Because Matthias was not appointed like others were appointed. But Paul was appointed like the other 11 were appointed. By Jesus himself, personally. Praise the Lord. So the replacement, man appointed, but God always has his own. But when the time comes, it is not about sitting together like this. This ministry is an international ministry. And it may be, it is the emphasis is not the gathering of the people here. The emphasis is the spreading of the message. And while I am thinking that God is using me now, God may be raising another person in another town somewhere to continue with this same message internationally. So you have to understand it that way. Now what we have here is for administrative conveniences. Now, but when it comes to call, it's God that places by himself. So now, concerning our ministers here, why will I give, and let me quickly tell you, there's a reason why God cannot make a prophet a pastor. When you give him a microphone to start to preach and teach, there will be clashes. This one will be break forth. This one will be break forth. He will be losing his thought. He will not be concentrating. But me, when they see, I got the preach, nothing they worry me. So I cannot be distracted. You have to understand. But we have what we call basic understanding. That every prophet, every minister, every evangelist in this ministry must be knowledgeable enough to defend what we stand for wherever he is. Praise the Lord. If you cannot defend it, then you must be another Judas.
Praise the Lord.
You spoke of people who were here, but they left. And you don't hear them
with the message.
No, but they have people there that are members of their church. No. You see, they are there and they have people who are following them. There's one of them that decided to answer Bishop. Somewhere at Mushi or so, somewhere here. He has people who are there now. He's pastoring some people. So why will you say they are not hearing him? He has the kind of crowd too that will follow him. And remember that I've been preaching this message since pastoral ministry since 1998. And from 1998, they only got to know us internationally maybe within the last 5-6 years. So you have to start somewhere before you are known. Why you just open restaurant new where they sell food? Before people begin to rush, they come there. It will take some time now. And they come, they go chop. This man is a big cuckoo. This woman is a big cuckoo. Now you're hungry. Say, hey, come, I can show you one place for each other. Then before you know what, this would be good. Then begin to phone. You started phoning your relations abroad. Then they started getting into the YouTube. They started getting into our website. And then they were advertising. Now you don't hear something. This one. And you have to start cooking the food first. The food, you know, when they begin chop up, no be food in a country. Then you can't stay. Praise the Lord. So that is what ministry is all about.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
I get confused sometimes when in this church, when you come to this church, because what we are hearing here is I advance.
Talk to microphone.
I thought it is an advanced or a tertiary institution message.
What do you call it?
Tertiary institution message.
Tertiary institution message.
Now, is it possible for somebody to go into the university without going to primary school and secondary school, and you say you come here? That one brings to my question that I am now believing that you have to be born again before you come here. Sir, because I got born again in Mountain of Fire, and when I come here, your message has meaning to me that somebody that is not born again and come here, that person will just have eye knowledge of what we are saying, but the character will never change. That is what I'm getting from, because it's not for me, it's for the purpose of some other people.
God bless you. But I can tell you that is within the scope of your knowledge, and I don't know how wide is your scope. But I'm aware of prostitutes that have come here and given their life to Christ. Drug addicts that came here and they stopped drugs. So that is within the limit of the scope of your knowledge. That I can tell you, I have known beyond that, that this place converts the people. Thank you very much. Yes.
Sir, it is written in the scripture that Apostle Paul said that you should follow me, for I am following Christ.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be an attitude of every Christian that calling the name of the Lord.
Yes.
So my question is this: why is it that Christians in our days or in our temporary, they were believing that my character does not matter? So long I mention the name of Jesus, but my character, what I do, does not count. For the Lord does not count words, but it counts what I say. So I want you to just throw a light for it, because I am getting more confused when I got in touch with my fellow Christians.
The answer is very simple. Praise the Lord. There's a pattern in the Bible. The word of God was given to Eve and Adam. An animal, serpent, a minister, serpent, came to tell her, did the word of God say so? No, it doesn't matter. So, Eve believed that false minister and accepted, it doesn't matter, we can eat it and nothing will happen, we will not die. I think I've answered your question.
Okay. Well, my second question is this. You talked about religion. I want to know whether religion gives salvation or it produces death.
Religion?
Yes.
If you don't mind, let me ask you, what is your definition of religion?
Well, I would say that religion is simple meaning of my own words. A person that is observing the activities in outward part, but not actually in word.
No, religion is a form of worship of the eternal being. That's the definition. It's a form of worship of the eternal being. That is the meaning of religion. And it all, you know, comes down to man's attempt to get to God after we were cut off from him from the Garden of Eden. So we have every religion today is attempting to reconnect to God. And it has become therefore a way of life. That is religion. But we always say that Christianity is deeper than religion. It's deeper than religion. Because it is life itself. Religion is a way. But Christianity is the way. I don't know whether that defines what I mean. Religion is a way. Now, when you say something is a way, then you make room for other ways. And that's why those who are following one of the ways can tell you we are one. After all, we are all following different ways. Our purpose is to get to Oshodi. You can follow through any means. So, but Christianity says, Christianity is the way. That is, it does not give room for another one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. And when you make Jesus Christ your Lord, then your walk with God will certainly be different from religious people. Thank you very much.
All right, my final question is this. We are talking about prophecy, seeing vision, or seers, and so on and so forth. But my question is this. Is it possible for revelation, prophecy, to be the fundamental thing that a Christian is supposed to follow, or the word?
I think I've answered that already. I said the voice of the sign, the gifts, prophecy, healing, deliverance, whatever it is, miracle, they are signed to follow the word, to confirm the word. So the emphasis is in the word. The word first, and other things will follow.
Yes, sir. The reason why I asked this final question, which I know that you have really said it several times here, but I discovered that so many Christians, they prefer, you hear them saying that God gave them gifts without repentance. Then they follow the gift. They practice the gift. And they confuse many people inside bus, because of the gift. You enter bus, you see somebody seeing vision. Before you know it, he start killing and stealing things inside motor. But first and foremost, he comes as a prophet. He comes as a real man. But he wasn't. That is the reason why I asked.
Okay, open Matthew chapter 7. I know you are not asking that question for yourself. You are asking for some people to understand. This is how Jesus Christ put it, verse 15. This is how Jesus Christ said it. From verse 15, Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ravening wolves there is talking about hungry wolves. Verse 16. How will you know them? Ye shall know them by their fruits. That is the emphasis. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And he made it clear, the next statement. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is what? Hewn down and cast into the fire of hell. Fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And he added in verse 21. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. I think I have answered your question. By their fruit, you know who they are. I think that should be the final question and the last question. The last question, yes.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you too.
Sir, I have this Bible portion that do disturb me a lot. It was used to convince me when I had my little baby, a baby girl. So, please, sir, throw light into this.
Read it. Let's
Ezekiel 16.
Go.
I adore you with dwells. I put bloodless on you, on your arms, and necklace around your neck, and put a ring. Verse 11. Ezekiel 16:11.
Go on now. Read it now.
I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on your neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead and earring in thy ear, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Please, sir, this scripture was used to convince me, and I brought my daughter here. So,
are you God?
No, sir.
So, what are you doing?
Because
listen. I know many people have quoted that scripture to mean that God dresses people with gold and jewelries and earrings and bracelets and everything. But this is because you read the Bible literally. The letter kill it. But the spirit, there is a spirit of the letter. Now let me tell you now how you will interpret this scripture. Open Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. Listen. We are expecting the coming of the new Jerusalem, isn't it? A city from heaven will come down, isn't it? This is the description of the city. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. I want to be. Okay, from verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and have 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square, and he mentioned the dimension. If you go to verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And then on and on and on and on and on. Does that not give you the picture of a wonderful city that will descend from heaven? Ooh, bah! Isn't it? And do you know that with that knowledge, some so-called some people have had dreams. They said they died. Jesus took them and they went to the New Jerusalem. And they saw the whole street gold. Nothing like that. God comes down to give you a picture of beauty. And he uses this symbolically to describe the beauty, the way he sees it. That new city of Jerusalem is the bride of Jesus Christ coming to earth here to rule in the millennium. That is the new city. Because he said, come, let me show you the Lamb's wife. And the Lamb's wife is the bride. And then he began to describe the bride. And he said, it is a city. Church, listen. When he said, I decked you with gold, with this, with that, he's talking to Jerusalem. How much he has beautified and made her attractive. And see how he has turned against him. He has not, reciprocated, the care he done, adorned them with. Therefore, he said he will remove anything that makes them look attractive. Nothing more. Including Isaiah chapter 3, he listed them there. It's the same thing. Praise the Lord. If God, look, when God created us, he didn't leave any other thing left for man to help him complete in our creation. So that he bring offered a human being, a woman, and did not put a hole in the ear. It was not a mistake. And he himself, in Leviticus chapter 19, he is against any engravement on the skin. So you have to take note of that. And we have it in the Bible that the only people that he ever got allowed for their ear to have a hole are slaves that refuse freedom. Yes, sir. It was a symbol of perpetual slavery, which you yourself, by yourself, you brought upon yourself, because he offered you freedom, you refused. Therefore, he put something in the ear to make you remain a slave forever, and it is a type of what is happening in the church. That because they refuse the truth, he, God, will also give them over to a delusion to make them believe a lie. So that in believing that lie, they will be condemned. That is the spirit of delusion in 2 Corinthians Thessalonians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. So you read the Bible like that. Not literally like that. Gold. They deceived you. There's nothing you can do. It was in ignorance. So anytime you have another daughter, don't put hole inside. Don't put hole inside. And especially sisters. Sisters don't have, it's brothers that have problem. You born your daughter finish, your mother will be giving you order from the village. I hope you don't put hole for her ear. I don't born my pikin finish, then my father, my mother will be giving me order on what to do with her. You are not proud enough to tell your mother, oh, mama, according to my faith as a Christian, I will not put a hole here. And I remember a church, an intermarriage church, that the woman went secretly, The man went to work, came back, and then before you know what, he put hole for their daughter. The man told her to pack, you and this daughter, get out of my house. He stood there. I want you not to do it. You did it. Get out of my house. And the teacher said, play. They brought the matter to the pastor. The pastor said, if my wife did that to me, I will drive her away. Drive her away. Get out from the house. It's true. I'm telling you this thing. They separated for many years. I will do worse than that. Amen. I'll do worse than that. Praise the Lord. Why should a woman have the final say over it? Look, even in the Bible, was it Jacob or who was that person? The wife named a child. There's one name he gave. Melanie, thank you very much. And then Jacob came and changed the name. Change the name. A woman does not have final say. It's the man that has it. Concerning that, if you are a man and it is your wife that dictates for you, you have problem. Look, I told you that we should be mumu. But the mumu get limit. Can we clap our hands for our God? Clap your hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus. I hope I didn't offend anybody tonight. One man caught his wife with another man and drove her away. Then he came to be a member of this church. Then the woman wanted to use this influence of the pastor to convince the man to bring her back. And then came to me. She stayed here, worshiped like for 1 month, the follow, so that you know. Then one day came to me and said, this is what happened. I said, did he actually catch you with another man? He said, yes. I said, sister, I can't help you. Because if I catch my own, I say, I must put myself in the position of your husband. Any advice I give you, what I cannot take, I cannot advise another person. So I say, sorry, sister, I cannot help you. Go to the Lord in prayer. May God answer your prayer. Praise God. No, but it's true. Now, what do you want me to say? Brother, forgive her now. It don't happen. She says she's not going to do it again. Hey! Anyway, I sent for the two of them. And I repeated it. I said, this is what your wife said. Is it true? This? He said, yeah. I said, this is what I answered her. That if I am the one, I'm going to have you come out. So, brother, scripturally, you are correct. The two of them left after I sent for the man. I said, brother, scripturally, you are correct. But the Bible says, love covereth a multitude of sin. If it is love that made you to marry her, and true, you see any sign, say she regrets, and she promises she will not do it again, please forgive her and take her back. I pray that God will give you grace to forgive her. He said, Pastor, it is difficult. He said, I say, I know it's difficult, but I'll be praying with you. Well, consider. 1 week after he came to me, he said he has decided to accept her back. Praise God. It's true. Number one, I will tell you the truth first. Before I do pastoral work. So I'll tell you the truth first, then I will do pastoral work. One sister was going out with a brother. Pastor Thomas, you know, Jerry, you know them. 6 years, they were in courtship. And she had a child. And the boy, the brother didn't know. And the child was in the village with her papa, her mama. And he didn't know. And it was in a revelation the boy saw it. And asked her for more than 6 months. Every time keep asking. She said, no. He said, I saw something and my God not alive. Me, I don't want to marry a woman. We don't get picking before outside. Then something happened. It was confirmed. And the man came to me and said, see what happened. He had decided to. No, the woman came to me that the brother has spoken the relationship. I said, what? They tell long story. Long. Did you tell him the day he met you? He said, you don't tell him. I say, now you delay yourself for nothing. Go find another man. No. This one, don't break. I told them the truth. See, if you come to me, be sure that the counsel you receive from me will be nothing but the truth. I cannot deceive anybody. I'm telling you. I'm saying this. Let me be a message for somebody here. That when a man comes to marry you, he said, now God talk, say. God talk, say, Abby. You sure say, now God tell you, say, be your wife. Go pray again, though, because he gets something I want to tell you. He said, I'm sure. Look, sister, I don't need sleep. It not be you. Please don't break my heart. Now you. Okay. The reason why I want to tell you is say, I get 3 different children for 3 different men. They're there for village. And see whether the man will come back or not. Amen. Now that time I go back. Lord, am I making a mistake? Is she not the one? Oh, but I tell him, brother, you should send me. Say, as they see me so, I get HIV. See whether he can come back. Praise the Lord. It's better you do that than to hide anything. I mean, so desperate. All you are doing is you are just postponing the evil day. And when he discovers you deceive him, you are finished. And the Bible permits him to divorce you for marriage in deceit. Should not lie to both ways. Should not lie to one another. Brother, tell them who you are. That house where you did 3-bedroom flat. If not, you get an squad in a squad. Don't go tell them, say, my house. If they come visit you, the owner of your house, they make it look like, say, it's just that your one room, make you the manage for here. Meanwhile, now you be the squatter. Open up, tell her. And you see me so, house, I don't get. But I'm hoping for. Pray along with me. Don't be lying. Don't lie. Know yourself. These are the people you live forever. So know everything about me. And let me know everything about you. So that when with this knowledge, when I take a decision, I know I'm responsible for that decision I've taken. Praise the Lord. And please, brother, keep your mama and your papa away when it comes to marriage thing. Marriage. And be careful about bringing God into the matter. God told me that you are my wife. Then small time. I don't understand. My mama say, Papa, now your papa she won't marry. I mean, now your mama she won't marry. God lets you know that some people never grow at all. And some mothers will never give their children independence. Forever, some mothers are witches. May your mother-in-law not be a witch in the name of Jesus. and witches are of different levels. A witch is a manipulator. Anybody that makes you do things contrary to your own will, but do it by his or her own will, is a witch. Every manipulator is a witch. Ask your neighbor, are you a witch? Sister, ask your neighbor in the look of me. Witches. Praise the Lord. A mother must not select wife for the son. It's wrong, or you're a witch. You love him. So you select. But these days itself, do you know that this thing has... Look, when I went to secondary school, my father, my mother didn't know how I got the form to that school. Didn't even know the day I wrote the exams. Didn't know when... Maybe I informed them, they go for interview. I don't know, sir. Then, the only thing is, the doctor say, are they here now? But now, come and see. When children, up to now, your child is going to the university, the parents, they carry her for motor to the school, to drop her for school. Then you go help her, they do registration. You go from department to department, up to the hostel where they give her. You go nowhere. And then pay for her. Now, they help pay the money. You go pay from place to place. Place to place. When it's time to come home, there is even visiting time. I saw a university, a private university, that put a parent teacher association of university. They had a meeting. We don't have confidence anymore in our children. You don't even know which age be their age of independence. So you will, after cooking finish, they will, before the man will marry, he go bring the girl to you until you give approval. Where is she from? Where is she from? From Isoko? Ha! Amen. Praise the Lord. A sister told me that the father is dead now. The father said that while they were alive, was telling her, I said, you know, you are the one I love. You can marry everybody, but you will not marry an Isoko man. He said, even if I die, you should not marry an Isoko man. And the guy that wants to marry her now is Isoko. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then I told her, praise the Lord. Amen. I said, before you will honor that, if somebody gives you a prophecy, thus said the Lord, I give you two prophecies. And the first one, na lie. Will you believe the second one? Eh? You are not following me. Will you believe the second one? I know the girl's father. The girl's father did not want the girl's senior sister to one of the senior sisters. He had the first one that he approved. The sister, one of the girl's sister, that the man approved. The man for her to marry was a very horrible marriage. Then, the next sister that man's daughter was to marry, another daughter to marry, the man rejected the fight, it finished. Lie, you can't marry this one from this tribe. Lie. Now that one, that can be the best marriage. So, then the man took care of him. You know, till he died, was his favorite. Now, I told him, I said, now, your father, the one where he agree, na suffer. The one where he no agree, na enjoyment, Will you not take the words of that man selecting husband for you seriously? If the first one no work, this one too, the man don't die, you go. Now lie, marry the man who you love. That was my counsel for him, for her. Because he does not want to offend the dead father. I'm telling you, parents, leave your children alone. Amen. William Branham, when they came for his daughter, Rebecca, by name of Rebecca, the man's name was Smith. When Brother Smith came to marry William Branham's daughter, he said, there's only one condition I give you. What is the condition? He said, go get the Holy Ghost. He said, if you go get the Holy Ghost, come, I will allow you to marry my daughter. So the guy everywhere, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. That's a wise one. That's a wise one. One day they were in another town. And they were in a little prayer meeting or so in somebody's house. And the man left that house, where they were praying, entered another room. He was having a certain experience he didn't understand. He was confused. So just he was still inside there, the phone rang in that house. It was Brother Abraham that was calling. And he was surprised. Did any of you tell Brother Abraham that? Because he asked, he said, can I speak to Brother Smith? And they said, did you tell him that you are here, Smith? He said, no, how did you know I'm here? They put the phone to him. When they put the phone, he said, is that Smith? He said, yes. I want to be the first to congratulate you for receiving the Holy Ghost. Immediately he received the Holy Ghost in that room that day. God was telling William Branham, show you what happened. Praise the Lord. Anybody that will come for my daughter in 18 years' time. You must have the Holy Ghost. And nobody you go tell me, say, you get Holy Ghost. So I must confirm that you have the Holy Ghost. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. We are going to pray. Igbo, are you ready to usher us into our blessings for this month?